18th principle. The unalienable rights of the people are most likely to be preserved if the principles of government are set forth in a written constitution. The one weakness of the Anglo-Saxon common law was that it was unwritten. Since its principles were known among the whole people, they seemed indifferent to the necessity of writing them down. As Dr. Colin Rees Lovell of the University of Southern California states, quote, "The law applied by any of these Anglo-Saxon assemblies was customary. Until the Anglo-Saxon conversion to Christianity, it was unwritten, and like all customary law, was considered immutable." End of quote. England's need for a written Bill of Rights. However, the Norman conquest taught the Anglo-Saxons in England a bitter lesson. Many of their most treasured rights disappeared in a flood of blood and vindictive oppression. In fact, these rights were regained very slowly over a period of centuries, and gradually they were written down. In AD 1215, during a national crisis, the sword was virtually put to the throat of King John in order to compel him to sign the Magna Carta, setting forth the traditional rights of freemen, as well as the feudal barons who had been serving under King John. During that same century, the Model Parliament came into being, which compelled the king to acknowledge the principle of no taxation without representation. Charles I was later pressured into signing the people's Petition of Rights in 1628, and the English Bill of Rights was signed by William and Mary in 1689. Through the centuries, the British have tried to manage their political affairs with no written constitution, and have merely relied upon these fragmentary statutes as a constitutional reference source. These proved helpful to the American founders, but they felt that the structure of government should be codified in a more permanent, comprehensive form. It will be appreciated, therefore, that the tradition of written constitutions in modern times is not of English origin, but is entirely American, both in principle and practice. Beginnings of a written constitution in America. The first written charter in America was in 1620, when the Mayflower Compact came into being. Later, the charter concept evolved into a more comprehensive type of constitution when Thomas Hooker and his associates adopted the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut in 1639. It is interesting that the Connecticut Charter makes no reference to the Crown or the British government as the source of its authority. It is a compact of we the people. As historian John Fiske writes, quote, "On the 14th of January, 1639, all the freemen of the three towns assembled at Hartford and adopted a written constitution in which the hand of the great preacher, the Reverend Thomas Hooker, is clearly discernible. It is worthy of note that this document contains none of the conventional references to a dread sovereign or a gracious king, nor the slightest allusion to the British or any other government outside of Connecticut itself, nor does it prescribe any condition of church membership for the right of suffrage. It was the first written constitution known to modern history that created a government, and it marked the beginnings of American democracy, of which Thomas Hooker deserves more than any other man to be called the father." The government of the United States today is in lineal descent more nearly related to that of Connecticut than to that of any of the other 13 colonies. This little federal republic silently grew till it became the strongest political structure on the continent, as was illustrated in the remarkable military energy and the unshaken financial credit of Connecticut during the Revolutionary War. End of quote. American Constitution represents wisdom of many. Montesquieu pointed out that when it comes to legislating, which includes the setting up of constitutions, the writing of the statute or charter is oftentimes better regulated by many than by a single person. In harmony with this same sentiment, the American Founding Fathers considered it wise to legislate their Constitution by filtering it through the wisdom and experiences of many delegates assembled in the convention, rather than leaving it to the genius of some individual. James Madison commented on this, quote, "It is not a little remarkable that in every case reported by ancient history in which government has been established with deliberation and consent, the task of framing it has not been committed to an assembly of men, but has been performed by some individual citizen of preeminent wisdom and approved integrity." Minos, we learn, was the primitive founder of the government of Crete, as Zaleucus was that of the Locrians. Theseus first, and after him Draco and Solon, instituted the government of Athens. Lycurgus was the lawgiver of Sparta. The foundation of the original government of Rome was laid by Romulus, and the work completed by two of his elective successors, Numa and Tullius Hostilius. On the abolition of royalty, the consular administration was substituted by Brutus, who stepped forward with a project for such reform, which, he alleged, had been prepared by Servius Tullius, and to which his address obtained the assent and ratification of the Senate and people. This remark is applicable to confederate governments also. Amphictyon, we are told, was the author of that which bore his name. The Achaean League received its first birth from Achaeus, and its second from Aratus. End of quote. It is always difficult to operate through a committee, a group, or a convention as the Founding Fathers did. Nevertheless, the history of the convention demonstrates that the final product was far stronger than any individual could have written it. Time has also proven the tremendous advantage of having a completely written document for reference purposes rather than relying upon tradition and a few scattered statutes as the fundamental law of the land.